11:40, and Chris is going to come and bring us our reading from Romans chapter 13, and then David's going to come and explain it to us.
So Romans 13, verses 1 to 7. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honour, then honour. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Chris. Let's pray. Lord, gracious Father, we just really want to bring before you ourselves this morning. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be with us and would help us as we look at this passage. Would you bring glory to your name, and would you teach us truths, we pray, truths from your heavenly throne. For we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, I wonder if, like me, you were a bit intrigued by the events of about a fortnight ago, when there were protesters from Extinction Rebellion, and they climbed on trains in East London, and others glued themselves to trains too. Must have been very frustrating for the commuters who, tired first thing in the morning, just wanted to get to work. Ellie and myself used to commute by train in around London, and it's frustrating when your train is delayed at the start of the day before you've even got to work. It feels like your day is already wasted. We can imagine the frustration and anger of the coast commuters. One said in desperation, I have to get to work. I have to feed my kids. They might agree that the issues the protesters are highlighting are very important, but they were left scratching their heads as to why these environmental protesters targeted one of the most environmentally friendly ways of travelling. Now, for some of those commuters, anger turned to violence. We saw a video, many of us saw seen the video of commuters dragging one of the protesters off the roof of the train, and then on the platform, he was kicked and hit by angry commuters. Another protester was chased along the roof of the train, still another was kicked in the head. There was swearing and shouting too. The Metropolitan Police's Assistant Chief Constable remarked on this incident, it is important that commuters and other rail users allow the police, who are specially trained, to manage these incidents. If you squint hard, there is a parallel between that comment from the police and Paul's point, which bridges this week's passage and last week's passage from Romans. Last week he wrote, "Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath." And this week he writes, "Rulers are God's servants, agents of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer." This is the fundamental biblical principle which was breaking down 2 weeks ago. God says to us as humans, don't take revenge on wrongdoing. As an individual, don't take justice into your own hands. Because punishing evil and wrongdoing, that's my responsibility. And he says today, I've given you governing authorities of different sorts, and I have given them to you for a purpose, to undertake that judgment on my behalf in the present. So a bit like what the police were saying, don't take justice into your own hand. We are trained to undertake this rightly and safely. Now, this passage is a bit of a can of worms. It opens all sorts of issues all over the place for such a short passage. But I want to start today by looking at two truths that it teaches us about governing authorities in general, that they are established by God and that they're accountable to him. Secondly, we'll look at how to summarize this guidance for Christians in general, and then maybe we'll think a little bit towards the end about how we might apply that to us in the UK, in our relationship to our government. So first, what does this passage teach us about governing authorities? Well, it firstly teaches us that they're established by God. Last week's reading does in many ways set the context for today. As we looked at briefly last week, Paul was keen in verses 17 to 21 of chapter 12 to exclude revenge from the church community. In particular, he sees no place for us to seek revenge on those who do us evil. Let me read those verses to you again. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I think in many ways, today's passage expands and applies some of these truths. And the center point of that passage bit I read just from last week, just now, is that quote from Proverbs, feed your enemy. Give him drink. This will shame him, and we pray lead him to repentance and therefore life in Jesus. Again, Paul's instructions we were looking at last week are echoing the teaching of Jesus to love those who are our enemies and pray for those who persecute us, something that he put into practice as he prayed on the cross for those who were crucifying him. But as we get towards the end of chapter 12, we might say to Paul, won't all this mean that we're mistreated and abused as Christians? But says Paul, don't forget about God. It's his role alone to punish wrongdoing and avenge sins committed against us, his children. And he will bring justice in due course. But then we might think, but what about now, Paul? What about justice now in this present age? Will those who do us evil get away with it and not face the judgment until they die? I don't think Paul would restrict God's direct judgment on evil to his future judgment of all. We see God acting to judge directly in the New Testament, in the present, in Acts 5 and Revelation 2. But Paul, as he enters chapter 13, deals with this point by reminding us of an Old Testament theme. A truth from creation, that is the truth that God himself has delegated his authority to those human rulers who rule over us. And he has given them the role of executing justice in the present age. So God spoke through his Old Testament prophets many times, prophets such as Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Habakkuk, saying how he was appointing non-Jewish kings as his servants. Some he called to rule over the Jewish people. Some he called to rescue the Jewish people, and some he called even to judge Israel and Judah in judgment through invasion. And maybe that theme comes out most strongly in the book of Daniel. The issues we're looking at today, Daniel is a great place to go to explore in more depth. A high point is maybe in chapter 4, where the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar, ruler of pretty much everywhere, writes to his extensive kingdom, the Most High is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth, and he gives them to anyone he wishes, and he sets over them the lowliest of people. Slightly humbled by that point was Nebuchadnezzar. The Old Testament is clear, and Paul is, and here, and Peter is in his letter. God is ultimately sovereign over the whole world, and it's he who places rulers over the peoples of the earth, and they have a particular role from God of ensuring justice is upheld. But that brings us on to the second truth that we see in these verses, that the authority of these rulers is limited, and they are accountable to God. As these rulers rule, they are never going to give perfect judgments, are they? Even if they're trying their very best, theirs are the judgments of imperfect people, without all the facts. They don't have fully pure and just motives. At its best, government is a sticking plaster type solution. It deals with the worst of evil and places a limit on the spread of evil. But we know, when we look around the world, that sometimes it goes hideously wrong as well. It goes so wrong that even basic crimes are not addressed. It goes so wrong that that governments turn against God and persecute his church. And when God finally judges the world, through his perfect King Jesus, all those provisional decisions of human rulers, whether good or bad, will be made fair and just. Perversions of justice and persecution will be undone and restoration made. Unjust judges and rulers, ungodly rulers and judges, will come under the judgment of God's perfect and just judgment. All other wrongdoing, big or small, that may have been ignored by the authorities, will be perfectly put to rights. God says, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay." That's one of the fundamental truths of the Christian faith, that hope that justice will one day be done, isn't it? And we will live in a world free of evil. And these truths, these political truths that Paul is showing to us today, though, is what enables him to say to us, "Seek peace with all, and repay evil with good." He reminds us that God has our back. He will punish wrong. He reminds us that the idea of government is so that they can have our back too and punish wrong done against us. And when that's all working well, it frees us to bless, return blessing for evil, to bless those who do us wrong. So then, what about bad government? This passage has been used and abused by evil regimes to tell Christians to obey them unconditionally, despite their evil and ungodly policies. Should we unconditionally obey whatever the governing authorities tell us to do? No, clearly not. It's clear from the rest of the Bible that we cannot and should not obey governments when they overstep the boundaries of that God-given authority and stop us obeying God or try to get us to do things which are against God's will. And although this is a very positive passage about government in general, notice that Paul tells us to be subject or submit to the governing authorities, not to obey them. This is not unthinking obedience. We need our brains in gear. Only God can claim unthinking obedience. Human authorities cannot. Paul wrote this passage when emperor worship was starting to be a thing. You know, people were starting to worship the emperor in Rome, seeing him as divine and absolute in his authority. And he wasn't the first person that has made that claim, and he won't be the last. He wasn't the last. And Paul here is saying no to all that. He's saying, no, rulers are not divine. They are answerable to the one true God. No, rulers do not have absolute authority. They only have delegated authority from God. Their authority is limited. And at the very best, governing authorities are simply God's servants, nothing more. And many don't even really get up to that level. Paul does not raise the issue here of authorities persecuting the church, despite, strangely, the fact that he wasn't kind of, it wasn't foreign to him. I mean, he unjustly spent time in prison for his faith, and he followed Jesus, a man unjustly crucified at the hands of the Roman and Jewish authorities. Persecution was a day-to-day reality, even then, for the church. He still, though, wrote this to the Romans because he wanted them to live out the principle from chapter 12. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Okay, then. How do Christians live in the light of this teaching? Well, Paul tells us that our primary duty is to respect the authority that God has put over us, to submit to it. And therefore, in the vast majority of cases, hopefully, we will be obedient to it. We might question the government we have, but Paul is clear here, whether it's a totalitarian regime like his own or a democracy like in the UK, those rulers would not be there if God had not put them there and delegated his authority to them. So he gives us this principle of submitting to the authorities. And that maybe sits within an earlier exhortation in chapter 12, where he says, be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. This is kind of, in chapter 13, showing how that principle plays out in our relationship with those who govern us. We are to submit to the authorities. We are to seek to live as responsible citizens, paying taxes and revenue where it's due. We are to offer respect and honour where it's due to those God has placed over us. This is a principle that Paul gives to us for all Christians, but maybe there was a particular reasons in Paul's day why this became so important. Christians back then were a new oddball Jewish sect with some very strange practices. They eat people and drink their blood. Does that sound familiar to you? They call each other brothers and sisters. Isn't that a bit incestuous? They were followers of an executed political rebel who in Roman eyes were crucified for claiming to be the king of the Jews. This guy, Paul himself, who was writing, he himself seemed to cause all sorts of trouble. Every time he got to a new place, there tended to be a riot or something similar. Indeed, there were hints that it was Jewish disagreements about Jesus that got the Jewish people expelled from Rome for a time in recent memory for Paul. Christianity was an utterly new and alternative religion, philosophy, and way of life. It's going to be very suspicious to everyone else. And the deal is that as Christians, we are to be sharing the good news. And they're going to be suspicious enough without picking minor fights and getting reputation for rebellion and sedition. Paul wants them to try and live at peace with everyone so that that good news about Jesus can be heard and their behaviour won't get in the way. But it's true. It's a glorious truth that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And that has massive political implications, doesn't it? Because it means that Caesar is not Lord, though he claimed to be. Neither is any king, president, or prime minister before or since. And Christians, as carriers of this radical political and religious truth, persecution and trouble will follow that truth, that claim that Jesus is Lord. But that the gospel might prosper, we must seek to be people of peace as much as we can, so that people will be able to listen to our message and not be put off. And we are not, Paul tells us, to pick unnecessary fights with lesser lords who are under Jesus's ultimate lordship. Down the ages, Christians have maintained loyalty to the authorities, even in the face of grave provocation. But when those authorities came in conflict with the clear will of God, they firmly said no. But I believe their no would sound louder, clearer, and more effectively because they had said yes to every demand that wasn't in conflict with the will of God. Christians are, in short, called to submit to the government because God has put it there. He's made it so. It's part of their service of God and for our benefit, Paul says. But what does this mean? What is for our response to our government in the UK? It's not a one-size-fits-all. You know, we need to have real wisdom as we interact with those who govern us. Our primary attitude shouldn't be that of rebellion. We have a really positive government, but to honour and work with the government. But there are times, too, when we'll need to stand up and be counted. The government in our nation, in the UK, has been given authority by God to ensure justice is done. And we must hold them to account for that discharge of the role that God has given them. We need to stand up and challenge injustice and oppression, particularly on the behalf of those who cannot do so for themselves. We see Paul doing exactly this kind of thing in the many trials he faced before Roman and Jewish authorities in Acts. Paul honoured the office of the authority he was facing, even while he criticised the office holder when they erred for their use of authority, reminding them that God would hold them to account for the use of his delegated authority. And more rarely, we need wisdom to discern when, as in Revelation 13, the authorities have moved so far from God's ways that they have become demonic, blaspheming against God and waging war against God's holy people. Revelation says this calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of God's people. Maybe we look to the patient but costly stand of Peter and the first apostles before the Jewish authorities in Acts 5. There, they were told to stop preaching in Jesus' name, and they said, "We must obey God rather than human beings." Where government becomes set against God and his ways, there is a time for measured civil disobedience. And maybe if we wanted to think about that, the book of Daniel is an amazing book giving us stories of God's people quietly continuing to obey God in the spite of the authorities telling them not to. When we discussed this passage in our staff meeting, our minds immediately went to the current issues where we might feel the government, our government, was threatening the Christian way of life. From sex education lessons in schools and how to respond to them, to the new law on abortion in Northern Ireland, from transgender issues to restrictions about sharing faith at work and so on. The spectre of future need to resist the government hangs over us as a church. These are important issues, and we need to prayerfully and wisely respond as a church, remembering the pastoral side as well as the truth side. And indeed, as a church, we would love to provide forums where we can think about the Bible's teaching on these issues and how the Bible teaches us to respond to the authorities and how we lovingly speak the truth into these situations. So Ash has invited you. If you have any of those topics you'd like to talk about, you know the sorts of topics, then do chat to him after the service and we might be able to have a discussion in the future evening service. That's where our minds went in that staff meeting. But later, God challenged me on this after the staff meeting, because it's not where Paul is in this passage. Plenty of passages in the Bible are very clear about times when the church or the people of God have to face up to the governing authorities and say no. But this passage is about something different. In the face of a pagan totalitarian state, dead set against the true God, one that had already imprisoned him and executed the Son of God and would soon seek to exterminate Christianity, in the face of that type of governing authority, Paul said, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established." Some of our brothers and sisters around the world, they face similar situations to Paul, even worse. But we don't. We don't. And we mustn't let our worry and fear about what government, what might come down the road, what laws might come down the road, and how we might need to respond to obscure what Paul is saying to us today. Paul is talking about government at its best. He's talking about God's good gift of good government and our submission to it. I think Paul would want to challenge the fear which we as a church sometimes approach this kind of subject. He even asked that. Do you want to be free from the fear of the one in authority? Paul wants his readers, through living an upright life of doing good in the sight of everyone, to living at peace with all around them as much as is possible for them, to be free from the fear of those in authority. We must have faith, absolute faith, in the fundamental truth that Paul is communicating here. Authority in the United Kingdom, it doesn't rest with the people. It doesn't rest with Parliament, and it doesn't rest with the government, despite what people are saying around the Brexit negotiation table. Authority in the United Kingdom rests with the Lord God Almighty and Him alone. He is the ultimate authority. All authority resides with your Heavenly Father if you have placed your faith in Jesus. It resides with the one who loves you so much that he bled and died that you might be free and forgiven in his Son, Jesus, so that your hope is secure and your future certain. That is the truth we need to remember when we are interacting with our government. We need to remember that love of God that means our future is secure. Perfect love casts out fear. We have no reason to be afraid of our future, nor of our government, because they are completely in the Father's hands. And ultimately, he will work all things for our good. In love, Jesus has bled and died and won the victory over evil, so you do not need to fear. So as we reflect on this passage, maybe we need to remember the bigger picture about our government in the UK. They have our back in the face of so much evil. Murder, rape, fraud, theft, modern-day slavery, poverty, online abuse, and much, much more. And that means we are free to leave bitterness and revenge behind because we don't have to take justice into our own hands. We can trust that justice will be done for us. This is what God's gift of government should look like. And in 1 Timothy, we see that this purpose of creating a just environment has another role. It creates a peaceful place for the good news about Jesus to be preached, and people turn to find him who can free them from all fear, including the fear of ultimate judgment. That is the government's role, whether they know it or not. And so we do all we can to support, honour and respect them as they seek to fulfil that calling. We delight to contribute our taxes to the running of the government in our country. We remind them in a supportive way of their accountability to God, and we ourselves hold them accountable through elections, campaigns and protests. And we pray for them, don't we, in their difficult role of administering God's justice so as to provide the right environment for the good news of Jesus to spread. So let's pray for them. Lord Jesus, you are Lord of all. You have won the victory over evil. And though this world is not perfect and our government is far from perfect, we thank you that you have given them to us in the UK. And in so many ways, we live in a society where justice is done and people can live at peace. A truth, an amazing blessing that not everyone has, far from it. So we thank you for the government in the UK and for all the machinery that goes with it. And we pray that we would support them and pray for them. We pray that they would be good and godly and just in their decisions. And that we would be people who want to influence the future and not fear it, because we do so in your will and to your glory. Amen.